right. Good morning, Life Point Church. How's everybody doing? Brilliant. Okay. All right. That's a new one. Well, we can do that. Well, thank you all so much for being here with us today. It's an incredible day here at Life Point Church. One, because we get to come together, right, and worship and be in community and hang out with each other and see all your beautiful faces. But also because not only do we have a picnic, we also have apparently a frozen bouncy house out there, you know, so I guess that's to help keep us cool, you know, frozen, you know, all that. But we also have baptism today. So it's an incredible day here at Life Point Church. So thank you all so much for being here with us and celebrating all these things. And because we have so much going on today, I'm going to do my best to not talk forever. And for those of you that know me, I'm not good at that. But I'm going to do my best. So it's good to see you guys. And and want to give a quick update on the Mullins. I've been trying to update everyone every week. So they got to go home this past week. So Iliad is home. And for those of you who don't know, Mike Mullins is our worship leader. And their five-month-old, they found out, has had a brain tumor. They were able to remove that successfully, but it's a very rare form of rare tumor. And luckily and thankfully, thank to God, that they were able to remove the whole tumor, which they didn't think they were going to be able to do a few weeks ago. And they did some tests and found that it had not spread anywhere else. But they are leaving for Memphis, St. Jude's in Memphis, on Tuesday. And they will probably be there somewhere from 6 to 7 months. So they have a very, very long road ahead of them. And many of you have brought meals to them, have been praying for them, and they are so, so appreciative of that. They feel the love from Life Point Church and their friends and their family. So thank you all for doing that. And as a church, we need to continue to be just in just a ton of prayer for them. Because again, like I said, they have a long, long road. Shooting out little messages to them of encouragement on Facebook or whatever platform you have that they're connected with, or text or whatever. Man, they very much appreciate. So I'm thankful for Life Point Church and what you all have done and how you continue to support and love on them, and we're going to continue to do that. So today, we're going to go ahead and jump back into our message series that we're currently in about temptation. And what we're doing in this series, this is week 3 of this series, and we're talking about checking out God's Word about what it has to say about just temptation in general, right? And not only just about temptation, but how do we actually overcome temptation in our life? How do we claim victory over those temptations as opposed to falling on our face over and over and over again? And I would venture to say that in a group this size, that is a really, really good chance that there's many of you, if not all of you, I would say all of you, but I don't want to, you know, speak in absolutes for you, but many of us have that temptation, right? That one struggle that is just constantly there, that is just plaguing us, that just keeps coming to the surface, it keeps coming. And sometimes we do well, and sometimes, man, we just fall flat back on our face. And it's rough, and it's difficult, and it's a struggle, and we're like, man, I can't resist this. I can't get past this. I hate it, but I keep screwing up over and over again, and I just want to move past it. I just want to have victory over this temptation in my life. But the good news is that we can have victory, right? And that's what we've been talking about in this series, is that we can have victory over this in our lives. And if you remember from the first 2 weeks of our series, if you were here or if you listened on the podcast, our main passage of scripture for this series is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 and 13, and it says this, that Paul says this. He says, so if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. So again, basically that means that we are all subject to temptation, every single one of us. Doesn't matter who you are or how spiritual you are or how spiritual you think you are, how long you've been a Christian, doesn't matter. We're all subject to temptation. But again, the great news is this. It says, and God is faithful. Right there is just beautiful news in of itself, that God is faithful. It says he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. You see, our good God, man, he is faithful. He's always going to provide you with that way out. Doesn't matter how maybe seemingly insignificant that temptation may be, or how just devastating it may be in your life. He is faithful, and you can overcome it because he's going to give you a way out. Maybe for you, your temptation is worry and stress. You're just constantly tempted to worry about anything and everything, like the slightest little thing, and next thing you know, and like 2 minutes later, you've snowballed it to be like the worst case scenario of everything. I don't know anybody like that, but some people struggle with that. So maybe that's your temptation, or maybe it's overspending, right, or overeating. Maybe your temptation has something to do with a substance, you know, substance abuse issues that you're just constantly tempted with, and you're tempted, and you struggle, and you fight, but it's just constantly that temptation is there. Again, maybe, again, in our culture in 2018, maybe it's pornography. I mean, it's right there in your pocket all the time, and with being so connected, that's your struggle, and you're constantly tempted. But whatever that temptation may be, I promise you, if you're seeking after God, seeking his face, man, you're going to find a way out. He's going to provide you that way out because he is faithful and always gives us that way out so that we can endure it. But many times, we're not looking for it. We're just wallowing in it, or wallowing in our self-pity because we're stressed. We're struggling with this temptation. We're not looking for God to deliver us and give us that way out. Another one of our many challenges when we face these temptations is that we're constantly always focused on the negative. We're constantly focused on the thing that we shouldn't do, whatever that temptation is, right? And we're thinking about that constantly. Man, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to stop thinking about this. I want to stop doing this. Man, I want to be able to resist this in my life and remove this from my life. And we're constantly thinking about that negative thing, that temptation. Which again, that's one, you know, course of action in taking on these temptations is we have to identify it, right? I'm not telling you to ignore it, but we have to identify, but we can't just solely focus on the negative and what we need to stop doing. But rather, Scripture also teaches us that we need to start thinking and focusing on what we should be doing. But see, we don't think about that a lot of times because we get so consumed with that negative temptation or whatever that sin is in your life. But we have to be able to name that and say, okay, we understand this. However, this is what I need to start doing. So not just focused on that negative thing or what we need to overcome, but what do we need to start doing? What do we need to start thinking? How do we need to move forward with this? Maybe it's something that you need to start or just do different. Those are some of the things that we need to start thinking about. And this is exactly what Paul is talking about in Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17, when he says this. He says, so I say, walk by the Spirit. All right, basically, stay close to God. Stay connected to him and to the right things, right? The things that you should be doing. Stay close to God. Walk by the Spirit. And when you do, he says, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. See, when we're walking by the Spirit, we will not gratify those sinful desires. You see, the flesh here is referring to our very sin nature. That's what it means when you're reading in Scripture a lot of times when it talks about the flesh. That's our sinful desires. That's, you know, our sinful nature. And what we see in Scripture, and if you're a Christ follower, you know this, that your sinful nature is in direct conflict with God, right? Our sinful desires and sinful nature is in conflict with God. They're polar opposites. They're opposed to one another. So if we are walking in the Spirit, connected to God, seeking him, in constant relationship with him, it's impossible for us to be so wrapped up and connected into our sinful nature. Doesn't mean we're going to be perfect. Doesn't mean we're not going to screw up. But we're separated here because they're in constant conflict with each other. And as a result, when we're walking by the Spirit, you're not going to give in to those desires because you can overcome it. It's part of that way out that he gives us is being in conflict. When you're with God constantly, you can't be in sin. They're opposites. But again, we're all tempted. We're all subject to temptation. And far too many times, we find ourselves falling, messing up. Man, we gave in to that temptation again. Even when we didn't want to, even when we weren't seeking it out, it presented itself, and we were just like, and we grabbed it. We ran at it. We did it again. Man, we're not alone in that. Like, if that's you, you're not alone in that. I'm not alone in that. Again, the Apostle Paul, man, he was no different. And he said something that, man, that I really resonate with. Like, I connect with this. Like, I'm right there with him in this. In Romans chapter 7, I get it. I get what he's saying here. He said, man, I don't really understand myself. How many of y'all have ever said that before, right? Like, I don't get myself. He said, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. He said, instead, I do what I hate. Man, he's like, I want to do what's right. I just keep screwing up. I don't do it. I do what I hate instead. And maybe for you, you find yourself thinking this. Maybe you're like, man, I want to stop spending $50+ at Target every time I walk in the door. But I don't. Right? Man, I wanna start reading the Bible and seeking God and praying with him daily. But I don't. I really want to. Like, genuinely want to, but I don't. I wanna stop snapping at my wife and my kids when I'm stressed out. I wanna stop doing that, but I don't. I wanna start exercising every day, become healthier. I wanna do that, but I don't. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But why? Why do we do this? Why, if we want to do something, right? We know the right thing and we want to go after that. Why are we doing the opposite? Well, again, for starters, it's primarily because of our flesh, right? Because we're birthed into a sin nature. It comes easy to us. You don't have to really try real hard to do the wrong thing or to think the wrong thing or to go the wrong path. It's because it's who we are by our very nature. But I also want you to understand this, and this is something that I've been taught all throughout my life, started when I was a teenager, as it relates to temptation and sin. And so check this out. You've probably heard this before, but what you feed grows, and what you starve dies. Pretty simple. Right? What you feed grows, and what you starve, it dies. Right? So when you actually start feeding something, it grows bigger. It grows stronger, right? Because you're feeding it. And when you cut something off, right, you start starving it, it becomes weaker, and it eventually dies. Common sense, right? We know this. What you feed grows, what you starve dies. So for example, many of you know, because you've seen her here, the Driscoll's got a new puppy a few months ago, right? And why? I don't know. Because I have a daughter and she's convincing and I'm wrapped around her finger. But we got a new puppy. But anyways, so when we got her a month and a half ago, from where she was then to where she is now, she's, you know, she was like 4 pounds when we got her. She's like almost 7 pounds now because we're feeding her, right? So because we feed her, she's growing stronger. She's becoming more healthy. She's growing at the rate she's supposed to. But if we said, okay, we're just not going to feed her anymore, and we just stop feeding her, she's going to become malnourished, weak, and if we don't feed her, eventually she's going to die. Now, for all of you that are super sensitive around animals, we're feeding her, I promise. It's all good. You don't got to get upset and leave the church. It's all good. She's well taken care of. But again, what you feed grows, and what you starve dies. And that's common sense for us, just in our humanity, right? But it's the same thing spiritually. The exact same thing spiritually, right? So spiritually, if you begin to feed your flesh, you constantly are feeding your sin nature, your desire to sin is going to grow. It's going to become stronger, right? But if you begin to starve your sin nature, it's going to begin to wither and die and go to the wayside. Because what you feed grows, whether physically or spiritually. And what you starve dies. And in the same way, if you feed your spirit, you feed your relationship with God, and you're focused on that, and you're investing in that, and you're feeding it, that too will grow and become stronger and will flourish. What you feed grows, and what you starve dies. And we're going to talk more next week about how we actually feed our spirit. So make sure you're here for that next week. We're going to talk more about that. But for the rest of our time this morning, I want to focus a little more on the spirit, right? And I want to share with you two thoughts on how we can allow the spirit, right, the Holy Spirit, to empower us and to set us free as it relates to overcoming our flesh, overcoming those sinful desires and those temptations that we're constantly facing. So what does that look like? So what are these two thoughts? And the first one is simply that we're going to learn to depend on the power of the Holy Spirit. We have to understand kind of where we rank in this thing. And the reality is that we are helpless in overcoming these temptations in our lives without the power of the Holy Spirit. We have to depend on the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives to be able to work through and overcome these temptations in our life. And real briefly, before we go any further, let me take a minute and just kind of share about the Holy Spirit just briefly. And while most of you know that, you know, there's the Trinity, right? You have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And many of you, most people are somewhat familiar with God the Father, God, and Jesus. But the Holy Spirit, sometimes people get stressed out about, like, they don't understand it, or it becomes a little confusing, or they don't get it. So I just want to share a few little basic things about the Holy Spirit that will help us as we move throughout the rest of our time today. And first is just that understanding that the Holy Spirit is, man, it's one of the greatest gifts that we have as a Christ follower. Before Jesus vacated this earth, he said, I'm going to send you something better. He said, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send you a helper, and it's the Holy Spirit. Which is basically God dwelling in us, right? It's a God in spirit form who, if you are a follower of Christ, lives in each and every one of you. And the same power, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives inside you daily. And that's a powerful thing. It's a beautiful thing. The Holy Spirit is living within you, the Spirit of God. But many times we don't tap into it. We don't depend on that power. We say, I got this. But the Holy Spirit, man, he's strong. It's God. He does many things in us if we're walking with him, if we're in step with him. We see that the Holy Spirit, man, he convicts us, right? He convicts us of the things that we're doing wrong. Or convicts us of things that we're not doing that we should be doing. There's those moments before you do something wrong that you get that little alert that goes off like, I probably shouldn't do that. It's the Holy Spirit. Or afterwards, man, you're like, I shouldn't have done that. I know it. It just doesn't feel right. You don't feel good about it. It's the Holy Spirit inside of you. He convicts us. He also comforts us. Gives us that peace that goes beyond all understanding. I mean, I've seen it time and time again where someone's going through just a difficult trial in their life, something just super heavy, and they don't get it, but somehow they just feel this peace. That if you would have told them this was going to happen, they're like, my life's going to be ruined. But yet when it happens, man, they're just overcome with some peace. Or they're praying about something that's stressing them out, and then all of a sudden it's going to be okay. That's the Holy Spirit comforting you, right? He also counsels us. He gives us direction, shows us where to go, closes doors. Sometimes if your time is up somewhere or with something, man, he shuts that off so that you're not as passionate about that and births something new in you. And he's doing that to show you which way to go. He's leading you. If you don't know what to do in this situation, he's going to provide that for you. He counsels us and gives us direction. So when you're battling temptation in your life, because you're going to, every single one of us, we have to understand that we cannot do it on our own. We are powerless over that. We can't, but we have to tap into the Holy Spirit. We have to learn to depend on his power. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can overcome these things. We don't have to be a victim to it any longer, but we have to tap into that. Paul says this in Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 12. He says, "Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sin nature urges you to do." I mean, that right there is a good word. I mean, that's powerful. Like, you do not have an obligation to go in that direction or to do that thing. Whatever it is that your sinful nature is telling you you should do or is desiring or wants to do, man, you don't have an obligation to do that. You don't have to. You don't have to do what it's urging you to do. You have no obligation to do what your sin nature urges you to do. Verse 13, "For if you live by its dictates, by your sinful nature, you will die. But through the power of the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live." Again, it's pretty straightforward. It's not super complicated. If you live by your sinful nature, it's going to lead to death. But if through the power of the Spirit you put away your sinful nature, you're going to live. And you may be thinking, "Oh, well, you know, if I give in to my sinful nature, it leads to death." Like, it's pretty dramatic. You know, I mean, that's pretty serious business, but it's true. I mean, it's the truth. I mean, sure, if you engage in sin, let's be honest, it can actually be a lot of fun in the beginning, right? And I heard someone say, if you don't think so, you're not doing it right. But sin at first, for a season, can be fun, can be enjoyable, it can be pleasurable, it can be exciting at first. But if continued, unconfessed, especially if it's hidden, man, it begins to grow and fester, and it eventually leads to death. It does every single time. It leads a wake of destruction everywhere it goes. Sin can lead to death in your marriage. Easily lead to the death of your marriage. It can lead to the death of your connection and communication and your relationship with your kids. Sin can lead to physical unhealth and even physical death, depending on what it may be. It can lead to the death of your finances. It can lead to the death of your reputation, which in turn then can lead to the death of your ministry and your witness. Can lead to the death of your relationship with God. Can build up a wall, and your heart can become so hardened that you're focused on the things that you want as opposed to the things of God. If you live by your sinful nature's dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit, not through your power or your strength or your ability, but through the power of the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. Through the power of the Spirit, not through your power, through the power of the Spirit that's living inside you. If you tap into that, man, you'll live, and you'll be able to overcome the sin that is constantly in your face, that you're constantly falling to. You can move past that. It can be your way out. but you have to tap into the Spirit. You have to learn to depend on the power of the Holy Spirit in order to do so. The second thing that we're going to do is that we're going to learn to follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit, right? We're going to follow His prompting. And that might sound a little complicated to think about. Okay, I've got to follow the prompting of the Spirit of God, of the Holy Spirit living within me. It sounds super spiritual and very complicated, but in reality, it's not. We're going to follow the prompting of the Spirit. So as we're putting to death our temptation and our sin, first, obviously, we're going to depend on the power of the Holy Spirit, and then we're going to follow His prompting. So when we're depending on Him, He's going to prompt us, and we're going to pay attention to that, right? And so to help us understand this a little better, let's look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 24 and 25. And Paul says this. He says, "Those who belong to Christ, to Christ Jesus, have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires," right? So those who belong to Christ, man, they're starving and putting to death their sinful nature, right? They're putting it to death. Verse 25, "Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." All right, so when we jump back to verse 16 that we covered a minute ago, it states that if you walk in the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And now we see that since you live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. You're walking with Him, constantly in relationship, connected with the Spirit. And when you do that, you're going to hear His prompting. You're going to see His prompting. You're going to know when the Holy Spirit is prompting you, and you're going to learn to follow that. But first, you have to be in step with Him. I'll explain it like this. I've been married for 14 years, and me and my wife have a very great relationship. We were close friends, best friends, way before we even started dating. So we've spent well over half of our life together. I mean, we started dating in high school. So we've spent a lot of time together. And through that, I've learned her prompting. And she prompts me a lot. She doesn't have to say anything. She doesn't really have to do much of anything for me to realize, oh crap, I just said something I shouldn't have said. Or, oh, I need to say something that I haven't said. Or I need to do something that I haven't done. Or I need to stop doing what it is I'm doing right now. I've learned that pretty quickly. But I know how to follow her prompting. She doesn't have to say a word. And I know what she's saying, and I know what I need to do. Many times it's very, very beneficial for me to keep me from putting my foot in my mouth any further than I already have, or to set me up to win or be successful in something. But I can follow her prompting. And it's because of our relationship, because we spend time together, because I'm paying attention to those things, because we're walking in step with each other every single day. And because of that, her promptings are crystal clear. I got you. They're very clear. Don't have to question them. I know exactly what to do, and I know exactly what she's saying. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And if you walk with the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of your sinful nature. So just like with my relationship with my wife, and I can follow her promptings very clearly, it's the same thing with our relationship with God. If we're walking in step with Him daily, we're going to understand and see those promptings crystal clear. You're going to know when the Holy Spirit is prompting you to do something or to say something. When you're spending time with Him daily, in His Word, when you're praying, when you're listening, when you're connected to Him. When you do all these things, all of a sudden He starts prompting you and you get it. You're like, man, I get it. He's leading me to say this. He's leading me to go and do this. The Holy Spirit is prompting me to pray for this person. I don't know why, but this person's name just came to my mind, so I'm going to pray for him. I'm going to reach out to him with a text. Man, I don't know how many times someone has texted me and said, hey, Andy, I'm praying for you. Or, hey, I don't know what's going on. I just want to give you a shout. And, man, I needed that more than ever. It was because they were following the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And there's been times likewise where some random person that I haven't seen in years or talked to in years, name pops in my head, so I shoot them a text. And they're like, man, you have no idea how much this means. I'm going through X, Y, and Z, and I needed that. It's because you're following the prompting of the Holy Spirit. It's not because of you. It's the Holy Spirit prompting you. And when you have these issues and these situations that are coming up, you're going to know how to navigate and work through them because of the Holy Spirit prompting you. And you'll be able to hear it and see it and know what to do. And when temptation comes, because it will come, when you're connected and walking in step, man, you don't have to give in to it. Because the Holy Spirit's going to prompt you on how to maneuver around it and remove it from your life. You see, when we are in step with God, when we are walking by the Spirit, the noise of the temptation, the power of the temptation begins to die because you're starving it. It'll always be there, but the power is gone. You know how to navigate. You know how to move around it, to sidestep it, right? And to move forward. You have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. Zero. No obligation. Because our God is faithful. He's provided you with a way out. Most importantly, he provided you with his son, Jesus, who died and rose again for you so that you could be made right with him. And once you enter into that relationship with him, man, he gives you that beautiful gift of the Holy Spirit living in and through you. And we need to walk in step with him. And when we do, man, those temptations aren't as loud. When we're walking by the Spirit, when we learn to depend on the Holy Spirit for everything, because without him, we're hopeless. Without the power of the Holy Spirit, man, we're going to give in to whatever that thing is every time. Because again, it can be pleasurable. It can be fun. It may numb the pain for a minute. It may make you think something different or have some type of thrill. I'm not going to lie. It will. But it leads to death. It's temporary. It's toxic. And if we learn to depend on the Holy Spirit and we're walking in step with him, then we can follow his prompting and we can navigate right past it. Because our God is faithful. And the Holy Spirit is powerful. And when you're tempted, he will always, always give you a way out so that you can endure it. So tap into that today, into his power. Depend on his power and follow his prompting. In order to do that, we need to be walking in stride with him daily. Let's pray. God, we thank you. God, we thank you so much for who you are. That despite our flaws and our failures and our stupidity at times, God, and our selfishness and how we want to try to do things on our own, God, you're still there and you're still faithful. And when we come to our senses, you're always like, cool, I got you. And I'm so thankful for that, that you always have our back. We thank you for that beautiful gift of the Holy Spirit to prompt us, to lead us, to give us comfort and conviction and purpose, know the direction to go, and counsels us when we need it. Helps us to overcome the temptations in our lives so that we can keep our eyes on you and continue to do the things that you've created us to do. And may we as a church today all be in stride with you, walking with the Spirit step by step. God, may we be in connection with you. And as we do, God, may we make an impact in this community and in this city, in the lives of the people that you've put there before us. Maybe you're here this morning and, man, for you, that all sounds well and good, but you don't understand that peace, or you've never experienced that prompting and the power of the Holy Spirit because you've never stepped into a relationship with him. You've never connected with the Father. Man, and if that's you, I'm telling you this morning, it's the greatest decision you will ever make in your life. to be in connection with him, to be in relationship with him. You see, like I said earlier, man, God made a way for you to be made right with him. Yes, we have a sinful nature, but we don't have to wallow in that. And we can overcome that because of Christ, because Jesus sent his son to die and shed his perfect blood and rose again for you so that you could be made whole again. And Romans 10:9 gives this clear, beautiful little picture. It says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God rose him from the grave, that you'll be saved, that you'll be connected with him. It's about confessing and believing in your heart. It's not about saying a prayer. It's not about your actions or, you know, that you have to do this and be good or, you know, all these things. You just need to focus on him and confess and believe. Confess that you have flaws. Confess that you're not perfect. And confess that you need a Savior and believe that he is the one and only way. And you give him your life. You just lay it down. Just call on him, however he leads you in that. Just confess and believe. And if that's you and you're here this morning, man, just you can call out to God right there from your seat. Just confess and believe. Or here in a minute, and we're going to have time while Jared and the team play that you could come forward and just have a, we can talk about that, or we'll have some of our team up here. We want to be helpful as you navigate this journey with Christ. But maybe you're here this morning and you are a Christ follower and temptation has your number right now and you're just giving in. You don't want to, but you keep focusing on that thing that you need to stop, so much so that you're not focusing in on your relationship with God. Or maybe you've gone out and you're trying to do your own thing, your own way. I don't know what it is for you, but if temptation has your number, man, begin to tap in to the power of the Holy Spirit and depend on him. Of course, do the things that you're responsible for. Do the things that you can do, but ultimately, it comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. And you follow his promptings. In order to do that, you have to be in stride with him. Because you can't follow the promptings of someone that you don't have a relationship with. This doesn't work. You get mixed signals and it's a mess. So walk with him. And if that's you, man, just come back to him. Realize that. Get those things right. Move forward. Step one is just spending time with him. So you can start that today. Whatever it is that God's speaking to you right now, man, you just do business with him. So Jared and the team are going to lead us in a song. And like I said, you can pray right there from your seat, or if you want to come forward, hey, do whatever God's leading you to do. We'll have some people up here. God, again, we thank you. And I pray that you would just move in this place today, God. Speak to each and every one of us what we need to hear. What it is that we need to